Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 22nd of March, recording at 9:57 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights of the day. Stock markets continue to mostly drift lower. Although that said, we noticed today, or Owen spotted a few of the Eastern European markets, which had rebounded after some pretty sharp falls, and they have been very, very volatile recently, but they may be tested again tomorrow, because Europe generally resisted the softer tone that we saw in Asia today, and Wall Street came in on the upside, but then we had the Fed's widely anticipated interest rate hike. And it was the comments of the market, or the comments coming from the Fed, that spooked the markets. And Treasury bonds, for example, let me just continue, cut through on a review on this, but they were well up on the day and closed well down on the day. Now, you know, I've focused on these Treasury bonds and saying I felt that they were the most important factor in the market's mind here right now, and we should pay very, very close attention. So Treasury bonds down, Wall Street down, and the dollar up, and therefore precious metals down. Okay, now I will come back to all this, but in a slight variation from my usual format, I'm going to pick up this letter, which I put in comment of the day, which came from a hedge fund manager. Now, I've got a fair number of hedge fund managers among my subscribers, and I suspect they're all asking the same question, but it's not just hedge fund managers. We're all asking this question, which is, quite briefly, assuming a long-only strategy, what does one now buy and hold for the medium term if you are right? Right in the sense of saying that the environment had deteriorated, that there were that we were quite possibly seeing a contraction in liquidity overall, and that could drag down everything for a while. Well, okay. Short answer to this emailer, subscriber, is to say you buy as little as possible in here right now. Now, the problem is, if all boats float higher on a rising tide of liquidity, as was certainly the case, if that liquidity is drained away for any reason, and I've been saying all along they didn't think we were going to see a massive contraction in liquidity, but I certainly expected a small contraction in line with these rising interest rates that we were seeing. And if the investors who piled into all these markets using a considerable amount of that liquidity took fright, then everything could react and there would be no safe haven bolt hole from a long standpoint in the short term. Now, that remains pretty much my view today. So, as I say, the short answer is I would buy as little as possible. Now, there are big questions in here. Well, two of them. Do markets come down quickly and steadily? Bonds are the key. Not good evidence in here today. Bonds steady and markets range around, go sideways for a long time. I said the only trouble with that hypothesis is that I wanted that to happen, and so did pretty much everyone else. You know, I'm not too keen to see things like India and Thailand drifting down, but I'm not going to sell those into weakness, especially as I've hedged out some of my risk in those markets. But if markets just were to continue straight down for a very long way, I'd look foolish. Having held on to positions where big profits would be significantly eroded. But that's my stance for the moment. Now, in terms of what to buy, if one had to buy in here, it would be a question of saying, well, what's likely to be damaged, least. And among stock markets, my hunch, as you've heard me say before, is that Japan would hold out quite well. But in a sharp sell-off, it would be a relative performer, not a net performer overall. But Japan, certainly. Then I would go back to my very basic primary themes, and those are the supply and elasticity is certainly one of them. And then I would pick up on emerging markets. But both those areas can fall like stones in the very short term if investors take fright. So, but if the question really is, though, would I rather buy more Rio Tinto or British Petroleum or Suncor and some of the good energy stocks and some of the good mining stocks, or would I actually rather buy the metal than say buy a tech share on a fairly fancy multiple? To me, that's a no-brainer. I would not have the tech share. Now, if we get a very sharp sell-off, and I'm not at all sure that we will, but if we were to do so, I'm hypothesizing, if we were to get a very sharp sell-off of, say, 3 to 6 months, then when the market stopped going down, you could buy pretty well anything, and perhaps you would want to buy most what had fallen the most. Now, get back to this question again. In the very short term, you could say things like treasury bills, very short-term money market instruments. Those would be candidates. I could say the U.S. dollar. I think this is only a technical rally, but as I said yesterday, I don't think it's over. And on the basis of today's action, I certainly don't think it's over, and I think we're going to see a test of and could easily exceed the February high on this rally. Now, I said in comment of the day that I would open up the question a little bit further, and I wouldn't just answer it from a long-only point of view. I feel reasonably relaxed in here right now because I do have hedge stock market shorts. Now, I will say this is a tricky game overall, particularly psychologically. It's juggling with when you have long positions and you have hedge short positions, and the moment something's in profit or you see something coming off a bit off a high, you think, well, should I grab that leg, close that leg, for instance. And I talk about this, and one talks about this from time to time. I was discussing it with Owen earlier today, saying I was in having a debate in my own mind of whether I should put in the money stops on my stock market short positions, and those would have been fairly close in the money stops. And Owen's comment, which I thought was quite profound, was he said, well, when I put in the money close in the money stops, I almost want to get stopped out because the pressure is great, and I think that there's not much more to go for it, but I'm just leaving the door open just in case. And well, I at any rate did not put in the money stops on them, and a good thing I didn't as well, because I think we had that conversation this morning, and then markets rallied in the late in the early afternoon, and I would have been stopped out of the Nasdaq for example, up at just under 1500 on the June contract, and it closed at 472, down 16.5 on the day, and I would have been stopped out on my FTSE position and quite possibly the MIB short position as well. So I manage my money on the basis of a total return hedge fund, and I'll go long or short. So my short positions in here right now, as some of you will be aware if you've been listening, well, if I'm reading comment and listening to the comment of the day, is I've got three stock market futures short positions. I may increase those. I'm short, thank heavens, U.S. Treasury bonds, and they got whacked in here today on the Fed's comment. And I have the I'm long the US dollar, and that's a first for really, well, I can't remember when I was last long the US dollar. Goes back a few years for sure. So but I still have this tricky position. I described it yesterday as I felt a little bit as if I was sort of jumping from one ice floe to another. In here, in trying to put a limit risk, that's the main thing I've been concentrating on. I didn't want to go for one fell swoop cut of the all my various different positions. Okay, now I want to get back to what was certainly the most important development that occurred in here today, and that was the Fed's comment. Now, what amazes me is I see this every day when I watch at home. I'll watch a little bit of the financial channels, and everybody was talking about measured. Was the would the Fed remove the word measured from its talking about its interest rate hikes? You know, to have been basically 25 basic, well, not basically, they've been flat out 25 basis point hikes, seven in all we've seen. I think I heard somebody say that that was the highest number of rate increases for 25 years. I doubt that it was the biggest interest rate rise because there would have been some 50 basis point and higher hikes over the last 25 years for sure, but I think the reference was to seven consecutive interest rate hikes, albeit in minimal 25 basis points a clip. Now, it's hardly surprising that we've seen more or higher number of rate hikes because rates got down to what was a low of over 40 years. And so when they did start to move up, we were likely to see a fair number of interest rate hikes. But measured is not the key. The key word is accommodative. Because as long as Greenspan keeps saying that interest rates are accommodative, it will signal to the market and everyone else that they have not reached the neutral level that the Fed has been talking about wishing to pursue, wishing to reach. So when they drop the word accommodative, and the Fed said again today that interest rates were still accommodative, when they drop the word accommodative, we will know that the Fed has, for a specific time frame at any rate, taken them as high as it intends to do for at least the medium term, in other words, a number of a few months, and the Fed would leave its options open to reconsider if inflationary pressure is built up again. But again, accommodative is the key, and while it's still in there, we know that rates are going to go higher, and that's going to play on people's anxieties, as it did in here today, because how much higher are rates going to go? Well, we're playing this guessing game. It's certainly going to be more than 2.75%, which is where they were after today's 25 basis interest rate hike. Okay, now the downward dynamic that we saw in Treasury bonds, say they reversed, and they reversed again. They were, and it was a pretty good gain on the day. For instance, on Monday, the March contract closed at 110 and 18 30 seconds. So it rallied up over three quarters of a point here to 111, oh, yeah, 111.11, and interesting number. And then after the Fed's comment fell all the way down, fell over a point from the close down to 109.14. Now I'm looking at what's listed on Bloomberg as a settlement price, but I expect this to start trading again anytime soon, and I think it's probably higher than the actual market rate. But they're showing it at 109.24. I think it'll be closer to that 109.14 when trading resumes, but we'll see. But the point is that I said yesterday, I think that the Treasury bond rally looked a bit like a dead cat bounce, and that the Australian bonds had already moved lower once again. Well, This wiped out the entire rally and more, and extended and reaffirmed the overall downtrend. So that's put the fear of Greenspan back in the hearts and minds of bond traders in here. And that's, of course, bearish for stock markets. So I certainly expect a knock-on effect in Asia as this data is processed. And again, I'm of the view that I'm assuming that Wall Street's two-year rally from that March 2003 low is over. I've been saying that for a while now, and that this is still a dangerous, risky environment here overall. Do we need to panic out of things? Are we going to get a huge squeeze? Well, I think not, but obviously it's been sensible, and I think remains sensible, to have some hedges in there and to also have reduced long exposure in that last rally. But I'm not going to chuck out things willy-nilly, and I will ride down things, positions that I think are exceptionally good for the long term, such as my my Thailand positions and my India positions. But say right here and now that if these markets steady up and pick up again and they rally back up close to those highs, I will think very strongly about, and probably would lighten those positions on strength. And meanwhile, my main concern right now is to monitor my hedge short positions. Do I have enough of them on? Because I will want to grab those profits before we see any kind of recovery, whether it's just a partial technical rally or let alone a medium-term low in markets. And I don't think a medium-term low is at hand right now. What else can I mention in here? The dollar's rally. And that's pushed the euro down, currently 130.67, having been up as high as 132.25. And it's pushed the yen up to 105.68. And that's after 104.85. So this is a pretty good swing around here in the currency markets. That pushed the gold market down 426.70 here. Now, what will be interesting to see, I've said I felt looking at the charts that I could see the dollar getting back up and at least testing its February high on the dollar index, which was up just a fraction over 85. And if I take that level now, let me just bring this up on the screen, that dollar and say it got up just over 85. And right, maybe it was a little higher than that. I get an exact level, 85.5, it looks like. And currently it's at 83.63. But that was enough to push gold down to about 411. So I thought that was probably the low. As you know, I was happy to be holding gold and saying it was a buy down at that level and a buy below 420. Last time around, I'm probably going to be a little bit more cautious this time around until or unless I see a downward dynamic for the US dollar. And right now it's registering upward dynamics. Having cut my gold position early last week, as you may recall, I'm looking at this move down as creating another buying opportunity, but the only one I'm willing to buy in here right now is still my baby steps silver operation. Platinum, that's a disappointment in the short term because we've had a failed break above that 880 level. That's come back down to currently trading after hours at 858 here right now. Wall Street closed down nearly 95 points on the Dow, just over 12. That was 1% for the S&P index, and just under 1% down 18 on the NASDAQ composite. And as I say, repeat myself, we will see some follow-through selling in Asia tomorrow. I'll be very interested to see among those markets. That's hardly surprising that we would get that, but I would be very interested to see what actually happens in Japan, where we had the Nikkei down today, but only 37 points, yet the second section roared upwards. If Japan's going to succumb in here, I would expect to see some sort of downside key day reversal on the second section. Well, all will be revealed tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.